Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you'd like to make during this broadcast, you can feel free to write to me at B-O-N-K-A-Y-E, Bon Kay, at AOL.com, and I will be happy to address your issues that you write during the broadcast, or if you choose to write any notes to me after the broadcast, and I can forward them to my guest tonight, I'm happy to do that as well. Before I introduce my special guest for tonight, I just have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, my November newsletter will be coming out in the next day or two, so be looking for it. And if for some reason you're not receiving it, feel free to write to me at bonkay@aol.com and ask for it. And also, I just wanted to mention that if you're interested in our healing weekend, it's time to get moving. We have it all planned out for April in California, in Orange County, at a beautiful hotel with wonderful guests and speakers and women you could bond with relationships that will be formed that will last you for many years into the future. The most wonderful thing about this event is how many friends that you make that stay with you no matter where they are from in the world, and they're still in touch with people years and years later, and they've gone through their healing and their traumas, and they're sharing with others. We have a number of women who come back, you know, on a pretty regular basis to these healing weekends because healing is a process. Healing does not happen overnight. Nobody's pushing anybody, and there's no fast rate or short rate, you know, but you just have to keep moving forward. And sometimes just reconnecting with the women who you've become close with or meeting new women who are going through this really makes a difference. So if you're interested, you can go to my page on gayhusbands.com and look there for the link for the healing weekend. You can also look at my new blog, I should say our new blog, from all the women in our group, on that page at gayhusbands.com. And if you'd like to share your story for the upcoming month or months, feel free to drop me a note or just send me a letter with the information. So without further ado, I will introduce my dear Dr. Maggie Bonet. Maggie, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Bonnie.
It's always a pleasure having you. And, you know, Maggie and I go back a few years when she was doing research for her doctorate, and her name stood out so much to me through these years because while she was doing this research and she personally went all over the place to interview women to really understand this, and no matter who she went to, no matter what names I gave her, everybody would always say, they felt so wonderful after speaking to you, like they were doing therapy with you during those interviews. And they felt so much reward, you know, so many rewards after they had that interview with you. And that always stood with me, that there hasn't been anybody that anybody spoke so fondly about every time you went somewhere. So I really appreciate your help that you do for women in our situation. And I know that this is a passion for you, correct?
Yes, it is. It definitely is, and I'm just truly honored to even having had an opportunity to be a part of all these women's lives. So thank you.
Yes, and thank you. And now, about to embark on maybe starting a support group in your area. Have you been, the last time you were here, you mentioned that?
Yes, I am still striving to start a support group. I don't believe the word is getting out on my part, as is evident. It had not been successful. I had a couple of inquiries, but nothing material as of yet. But I'm still hopeful. I'm still very hopeful. It's a great alternative to an addition to therapy for those who aren't quite ready. But it's great to be in an to be in an environment with people who share similar experiences. So for those who are hearing and are in the Atlanta area, please feel free to email me with an inquiry, and we can always take it from there. It will start off as a free support group, and or ultimately we can develop a psychoeducational group down the line. But right now I'm just looking to do a free support group for women who feel the need to reach out to someone.
And it's so important to have that kind of support. I know that my early years of doing this back in the 1980s, I ran a weekly support group. And I started out by sending out press releases to the local paper saying support group starting. And I also went to our local gay fathers community group here to see if they could share some names of women who may have called them for help. And actually, one by one, I went and solicited. And, you know, eventually it started growing to where we were having 25, 30 people here every week. And, you know, it takes time to form a good support group, but it's really an important necessity to have that. I know that Dr. Francine Barbetta, she's running her group here in Pennsylvania, not too far from where I live. She has hers once a month. You know, that seems to be easier for some people. So as long as you have people, I always felt, you know, the more time you spend together, the happier hopefully you'll be. But you can do it in any moderation that you want as far as time-wise. But if people are always seeking help, and I will be definitely trying to seek out more for you. In fact, I'll make another note in my newsletter when I'm sending it out in the next day or two, seeking women in your area. Not a problem.
Yes,
if you have, and anybody listening, those women in the Atlanta area, you know, you'll see Dr. Bonet's address on the broadcast here, so you can send over people to her. You know, there's a few things I'd like to talk to you about, and maybe we haven't spoken about this before. This is a problem in the United States, of course, where there are millions of women who have been married to gay, bisexual, trans men who are come from all different kinds of backgrounds. And even though we have the same common problem, you know, it's not any particular group as far as nationality, color, religion. I mean, it's straight across the board. But I think how people respond to it a lot of times is different. Because in some communities, I feel that it's hushed up more than in others. So, for instance, if you come from a church environment, you know, where you're told that God can change all things, including homosexuality, and people still feel that way, then they view it differently than someone who comes from a different kind of community. Do you feel that's true?
That is absolutely true. I think I've shared before the fact that I personally was in a church community where that was a strong belief, and a lot of our gay men were encouraged to get married, in fact. And so in order to hopefully change their behavior. So similarly, even when you are married to a gay man, you are encouraged to talk about it, pray about it, and seek help. It is not perceived as a problem because, again, the whole idea, too, would be to not allow him to go back out there and resume his lifestyle. So you are going to be encouraged to stay married in order for him to present as a straight man.
I know that my heart goes out to so many women from different cultures and backgrounds. For instance, I had one woman contact me recently who's in a relationship, and she comes from a Muslim culture. And, you know, from a very strict Muslim culture, not from an American Muslim culture, but from overseas. And it was someplace actually in Pakistan. And her family said they don't care what he is, she is not getting a divorce. And they don't even acknowledge it, the pain that she's going through. And it's so hard when you're steeped in these cultural, traditional ways of living from other countries or even from within this country to go against the grain. And these women just suffer so much because nobody wants to listen to their cries. And that's when you don't have choices. You know, so I just feel so bad in many situations. But I'm just wondering culturally, do you think there's a difference, for instance, within the African-American community about how this is treated as opposed to, like, say, another nationality that's more open-minded? You know, I think that traditionally the African-American community also, it was more of an accepted thing as far as not telling people, you know, keeping it hidden. You know, they had that term for J.L. King's men on the down low. And, you know, certainly going on, in fact, you know, J.L. King, you know, approached me to do, you know, a show with him a few times. But I realized that he wasn't sincere. You know, he was certainly utilizing this to his advantage for monetary gain to give false hopes to people, you know, initially. And I told him at that time, you know, that I really don't agree with his theories, that, you know, he was first claiming to be bisexual. And then later on, he, you know, we had many discussions about it, you know, in person. And I just had some real strong doubts in my mind, you know, as far as him being honest. And then finally, a couple of years later, you know, I didn't go through with the show with him because I just had some moral issues. You know, he did come out as being gay. But, you know, here's a man who writes this whole book about being on the down low in the black community. Did you have a chance to ever read his book?
I did not have a chance to read his book, but it is somewhat prevalent. One thing I think is that the demographic, well, not the demographics, but the custom is changing. However, with the older generation or middle age to older generation, I believe that what you're saying is still true or had been. With the newer generation, you may find there's more transparency and people are more open. However, with the older generation, it was basically the concept that you did not air your dirty laundry is what you would hear. And so and there would be suspicion that a person may be gay, but it would never be talked about. Because you don't want to bring shame to your family. You don't want people talking about you. In fact, one of the women that I did interview, that was her situation. And her husband would come into Atlanta. They lived in a small town south of Atlanta. He would come into the main city to see his lover and goes back home and be the deacon that he was and the amazing man that he was, which she said he was. He did his well as a person, but he lived this double life for so many years till he died. And even after his death, people were still denying his orientation. Like his family and friends were still denying the fact that he had been gay. So, yeah, there is a real serious intent, particularly if it's a man of status, even more so you want to make sure to cover it up and not to bring shame to the community.
And I guess when you're a minority, I think that might be very, you know, common for a lot of different issues. I know growing up, now you can tell me if it's different with you, but, you know, growing up in the Jewish community, that is a minority here in America because, you know, the small number of Jews, people think there are so many Jews in this country. they have no clue that it's about 5 million out of 360 million. So people think, you know, these Jewish communities are large, but they're really not. They're just congregated in urban cities, so it looks larger. But the point is that, you know, we grew up in the aftermath of the Holocaust, you know, for my generation, and with a lot of anti-Semitism that was going on back then. And so I know in my family, if something would go wrong with somebody who was Jewish, they would take the same attitude, like he's bringing shame to our community so that people will hate us more. And do you think that was a similar attitude with the African-American community?
That's a possibility. I did not grow up in America. Well, I grew up in America, I should say, but with a different culture. I have a different ethnicity. The way that we perceive things in our community was very similar to what you're talking about. So I can speak to that in the Haitian culture. Excuse me. There was definitely a desire to keep things within the community that you didn't bring to the larger area. I do remember even with regards to how, you know, men having multiple affairs or domestic violence and trying to bring awareness to the community at one time. I thought I could go out there and educate people, encourage people to move on from unhealthy relationships. And I was doing a show and I got a phone call from an older woman and she was very upset, Bonnie. She was very upset with me for trying to educate the people. And she would be like, you know, we don't do things like that. We don't bring our business out there. And it just was not very well received. So, yeah, they do prefer to keep it. And maybe the reason is because we already are a community that is looked down upon. So you don't want to bring even things to the community. So, yeah.
So I think that's, and even though you grew up in a different culture, I think it's the same maybe for any minority or group that's persecuted within a country where there's felt, where there's discrimination that's felt. You just don't want to air your dirty linen and give people a reason to use their stereotypes that they have against us to start with to make it even worse.
You don't want to bring more negative attention. Absolutely.
So I got a letter yesterday from a man in China, and I thought maybe you could address this. In China, there are very strict laws against homosexuality and marriage. With, you know, they don't even acknowledge it there in many cases. And he wrote to me and he said he wanted to ask my opinion if I could give him any information about statistics that now that we have gay marriage in America, if it's changed as far as men marrying women when they're gay. So what would your feelings be on that? That has gay marriage changed the number of men who are going into straight marriages?
I think it definitely have helped decrease the amount of men who are marrying women in order for it for cover up. I'm not sure if it has changed that drastically because despite the fact that we appear to be so open, there is still a lot of discrimination against gay men or people who are gay, period, especially if you hold a position of status. It may affect how you are perceived. It may affect your position. It may affect whether or not you maintain that position. So I think there are still a lot of people who are not willing to come out and admit that they are gay and will continue to pursue relationship with a sex, and since we're talking about straight wives, but we'll specifically mention men, so a man would still probably pursue a relationship with a woman in order for him to maintain the facade that he is a straight man when in fact he may be gay. A lot of it because of status. There are still many places that are not as receptive as it appears to be on the surface. So
I agree with that.
The numbers may have gone down, I don't think at this stage that it's really that drastic, especially amongst our generation, people our ages.
I totally agree. And I think another part of this, for the reason why I agree, is that about it, if there were 50% of gay men getting married, it might feel a little differently. But I really estimate maybe it's 10% of all gay men who even try marriage. And I think there's so many variables around it, including the one that sexuality can be very confusing. And it's not like if you're 3 years old, that's when you're going to have this lightning strike, guess what, I'm a gay kid. A lot of people don't understand homosexuality, and I really do believe in my heart that for some people it's harder to accept it when they're younger because they really don't necessarily feel it. I think those feelings get stronger as you get older from the many, you know, gay men that I've worked with. And I really do believe that they may have had some male attractions, but in a society that claims sexuality is so fluid, and even back then, you know, the older days in the 60s and 70s where people were always sexually experimenting and people didn't think anything of it, they just tried it and maybe they liked it, but they thought, well, I'm not gay because I still like women. And in your 20s, you know, I think there's a lot of pressure, you know, especially from families, especially when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, that, you know, they weren't even considering homosexuality. It's like you had to get married, you had to have a wife, you had to have children. And even today, I really think that when you come from places in America, it's still not accepted at all. Certain religions are not accepting of it. Certain parts of this country where it's more conservative, you know, they're not accepting of it at all. So I think that those men who tend to marry today will still be getting married. And not that they're trying to trick women into something, you know, initially, for the most part, because I really don't believe that's the way it is. I just believe these men are misguided, or they don't understand, or they're hoping if they love somebody enough that those feelings will go away, because due to cultural thoughts and religious thoughts, and this is religion across the board, including mine, I'm Jewish, and there are religious Jewish people, you know, whose also thoughts is that you're not going to be gay, you can get treatment, or you can make this go away, you have to be married, you know, it's just part of that culture. So even if, you know, you are, even today, if it's more accepted, you won't be accepted in your community if you go in that direction. Do you agree with that?
I totally, totally agree, and that's the same thing I'm hearing. And you're absolutely right, Donna. It is I honestly want to say most men don't go into these relationships with the intent to hurt someone or bring negativity into their lives and make them miserable. They really feel like they can possibly make this work and that the feelings will go away. A lot of women even have heard from their husbands, I thought I could. But as time progresses, the more I suppress it, the greater the feelings come. So hence they act upon it at that particular time. But they do try to suppress it as long as possible. And they are not going to be accepted in their community, in their families. And so it is still very hard. My belief is it is still very, very hard. We appear on the surface to be very accepting as a society right now. But I think it is just very superficial.
I agree with you. I mean, I know that it's certainly more accepted than when I was growing up. And there's certainly, with the younger generation especially, you know, more acceptance. But it's still not going to be like, you're not going to talk, oh, there's my gay friend. I say until you can stop putting labels in front of people, then you're still thinking it. Or there goes my Jewish friend, or you're not like my other Jewish that I know. You know, people are giving you these backhand compliments. And you know, I'm sure they don't mean any harm by it, but they just don't realize that. And when you're still being labeling people and looking at them that way, that's still a sense of prejudice. Would you agree with that?
That is a good point. I don't think I've ever really processed it that way, but that truly is a good point. There is no reason to be putting the label ahead of time, ahead of the person. It really does seem as if you are singling them out and isolating them and putting them in a different category.
Yeah, even if you're being nice about it, you're still thinking that somebody's different than just being a person.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I don't think it's being done intentionally or with the mindset that you are still stigmatizing, but by putting the label, you are definitely putting someone in a different category other than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it is something to really consider.
Yes, and like you mentioned also, it doesn't necessarily mean anything negative that they're thinking, but it's just the fact that they're thinking it means that they see you differently than they see themselves.
Absolutely.
So,
that's a pretty good point.
Well, that's how I look at it when people say it to me, you know, I have another Jewish friend, or, you know, it's just, you know, when you live as a minority, you get to hear everything. And I guess I'm kind of ultra-sensitive this week in view of the killings in Pittsburgh last week, and the chaos that has gone on over that. So
yes.
I think for a lot of people, this week was just a really bad week in general. But getting back to what we were talking about in general, when women, I had a conversation today with a good friend of mine, and she grew up in an abusive relationship, like many of the relationships our women are in. And her situation was a little bit different. She was not married to a gay man, but she was married to an abusive man who was very emotionally, overpoweringly abusive. And we were talking a lot about how narcissists and sociopaths get started in their relationships, that they're very charming, that they're very loving, and they can recognize vulnerable women in about 3 seconds. They're really good on honing in on you. And she stayed in her marriage for many, many years, and it was abusive, and she had 2 wonderful children that she's very close to. But she stayed there, even though she was so miserable and unhappy, thinking that that's the right thing to do. So then her 2 children, who are very successful in their professions, wonderful families and kids, but they went and married spouses that were just like the spouse she had. So today she was bemoaning the guilt that she feels for staying in that relationship where she thought she was doing the right thing because, society teaches you raise children in a family and that everything can't always be perfect, but it's more important to have a stable family life. And of course, that both of her children, were involved with the same kind of men. One was a man and one was a woman. And now, like I say, I really don't know what to say to people when they're feeling guilty over things that like this. So maybe you can give some advice.
Well, it doesn't help to feel guilty. You're not going to be able to, people have a right to feel how they feel, and that's understandable. But it does help to bring some reality in, and what has happened has happened. But what I think needs to happen moving forward is to utilize that experience to help others understand and gain understanding that it is it's not healthy to raise children in an environment that is violent, that doesn't have love, because this is what you are modeling for them. And unfortunately, you did not know any better yourself at times because you thought you were doing the right thing. So for that and that alone, I feel like a woman doesn't need to feel guilty and blame herself for what has happened, because you don't know what you don't know. But once you do know, you can utilize your experience to help other women. And unfortunately, that is true. They model what they see, because for a lot of these children, that's what they're accustomed to, and they think it's the norm when it's not. So as far as the guilt, unfortunately, that is going to happen, but it's to be able to help somebody process it and move past it and recognize that it is not their fault, because they probably had an environment that was quite similar. And, of course, they were encouraged to stay in that relationship. They didn't know they were hurting their children. And they weren't at that particular time, but children are witnessing things, and it is being modeled for them, and they take it with them as they move forward in their lives as well.
And that's a point that I'd like you to dwell on a little bit longer, because I say to our women, and I understand where they're coming from, but I also feel that by the time they're involved with these marriages for any period of time, they are not in the same position as them when they went into it, that you really get beaten down emotionally, that you don't have the strength that you may have had when you went into this marriage. And the only proof I have of that is me, to start with. Because I was a very strong woman when I went into my marriage. I really was. And I wasn't that young. I was 28 years old. I didn't know my husband was gay. And maybe I was very naive back in those days, because it wasn't as open as it is today. And he was a very big macho man, a kung fu teacher, and, everything macho about him. Why would I even think he was gay? I mean, we were having relationships before we got married, and wasn't the best, but, I'd been with worse. Maybe they were all gay. I don't know the worst ones as possible. But, like I say, was it my first marriage or probably even my second? So I kind of, did not suspect that necessarily be the truth, at that point in time. So I was, like I say, very strong. I was an activist and involved in many different activities at that time. And here was somebody I met who was also strong, and that really appealed to me. And he was vulnerable, but strong. And so I didn't realize how strong he was because he was so charming in the beginning and, you know, so masterful at making me feel so important to him. So little things that I may have popped up or little things that were like a little red flags about what he would be like to be married to, I was kind of ignoring them and hoping that if I loved him enough, he'll love me back just as much. And he, you know, pursued me totally. So I was like flattered and it was wonderful. But unfortunately, things just really went downhill, you know, over a matter of a quick amount of time because you really had a lot of rage in him, though he never physically ever abused me. But just the mental anguish of always being accused and being talked down to and making me feel that any of our problems were my problems and I was creating them. I was too jealous. Mm-hmm. I was too possessive. I was a nymphomaniac. You know, the list goes on. And so within a matter of time, that strength that I had going into that marriage, here I was, a woman who was at the top of the world as far as strength, it was really, I became a dish rag within a very short amount of time. I didn't even know who I was, but this is what he was able to do to me because I was just in a bad situation. So I think that a lot of times women just weaken and it's just so hard to leave. And one of the women I was speaking with today, she said so many times she really wanted to leave, but her husband would threaten her, if you think about leaving, you will never see these kids again. You know, and that happened to me also. I mean, you know, when I wanted to split up with my husband, he said, if you're even thinking about it, you'll never see these children again. I'll take them and go. And I hear that as a common theme with a lot of our women, that if they want to leave, the husband would say, well, you leave, you're not taking your children. You know, they know your weakest spot are your children. So here they are threatening you with that, and so then you feel really scared and very nervous that they're going to do it. So I think this is all a pattern of abuse that we go through in these marriages, not to say that other marriages don't go through it too. But, I mean, or specifically, I know there's a lot of that goes on. Have you heard about that when you're counseling people?
Absolutely, absolutely. For some weird reason, it's not that weird. The stories seem to just have different faces and different names, but are so similar in many ways. And yes, you are beaten down. You become someone else. You lose your own self. You don't know who you are anymore, so you don't have the capability of making that kind of decision, that lifelong decision. Once you've gotten to that point, it's very scary to even make that decision, Bonnie. In addition to the threat, it could be the threat of having possibly losing your children, the threat of losing financial support, the threat of being talked about by people in the community, by family members, the shame that comes with it. But honestly, you are so beaten down that you are not even capable of making decisions that are that intense at times. Until you find the strength to rebuild yourself, and for those of us who do, it takes a long time to realize that, wow, I'm losing myself and I need to find my way back somehow in order for me to be able to move out of this relationship.
And that's why I never judge any woman, because guess what? I was really lucky. My ex walked out on me. Because, you know, he thought if he would leave me for a week that I would fall apart and beg him to come home. And even within that 1 week, I was able to grasp my strength back and pull myself up. So when he came back with the suitcase in hand, I said, why are you here? He says, I decided to come home. I said, no, you left me with two little children and you took off and you told me, well, here's $50. Good luck. And I said, you took the car. I had no phone. I had a sick baby, you know. All this stuff, and he wanted to come home so I could be miserable all over again. So by that 1 week, that's all it took for me to build up that strength to say, nope, this is it. Never again. We're not doing this. And, of course, he yelled at me, well, you're willing to break up a family? Once again, this is my fault now. I'm willing. Mm-hmm. He walked out and took everything, but I'm the one breaking up the family. But if he hadn't left that week, I don't know how long it would have been, if I would have ever, you know, what I would have done. Because, you know, it was just so horrible and I was so afraid. You know, when you live with somebody who's volatile and threatening, you know, it's very scary. Yeah. So that's why I tell all women, you don't have to do anything right now. You have to have a game plan. You know, I didn't have any game plans and I didn't have anybody to turn to. I didn't have anybody to give me advice. you know, I went to a therapist one time. I said, well, let's go for counseling, you know, when things are getting really bad. And he said, I don't need counseling. If you want to go for counseling, then you go. But if you go to a counselor, make sure you don't mention anything about your suspicions that you keep throwing at me. So, of course, he didn't want to go with me to the counselor because they could see right through him, and they would have, you know, he didn't like being challenged that way. So even then, when I went to a counselor and she said to me, well, I really can't help you because you're looking for advice with your husband, and unless you both come in, there's nothing I can do for you. So I couldn't even get counseling at that time. So it was really sad. And so I just was very lucky that he left early rather than too much later. But for women who, if I would have kept staying in there, I would have been beaten down more and more. So that's why I really do feel my heart goes out to women. And without having the proper help and guidance, you know, they're never going to feel that they can really get out. So what do you suggest about that?
You know, unfortunately, not everybody gets the opportunity that you've gotten, Bonnie, to have that moment to clear your mind, to have that moment of clarity. But that's what it would take. Because until you are in a place where you're not so, your mind is not so clouded, your judgment is not so clouded because you don't even know whether you're coming or going, you're not going to have an opportunity to really process. Some women do, and they're just scared. They just need that that good friend or someone who's going to be there to say, hey, you can do it. Others don't even have the opportunity to process it because they're in the midst of the stress day in and day out. Definitely, I think therapy helps, finding a good friend helps, but it's being able to, first of all, get clarity on what you're going to do and then be willing to do it. Having the strength and the courage to say enough is enough, and I'm going to implement this. That is the hope, that is the wish, but like we said, and it doesn't make a woman weak. We understand that it takes time. It doesn't mean you're weak, that you can't get out of the situation. You're just not ready. So hopefully, as people listen and hear, find some time to really process this and ask yourself, is this how you want to live the rest of your life? Make a decision on how you're going to exit this relationship afterwards, and then find people to help you, to hold you accountable, and to give you the support and the strength you need in order to implement it. That would be my
goal. I'm perfectly agree 1,000% with what you say, and I think it's also important for women to realize that you can't allow money to be the overwhelming issue. Because a lot of women say, I'm afraid to leave because I haven't worked in 7 years, or I don't have a career, I don't have an income coming in, I have no other way of supporting myself. And I tell them, well, you have to have a game plan. You know, you don't have to plan on getting divorced this week or next month or next year. Maybe take this opportunity knowing that you don't want to stay in this marriage to go back to school, learn some quick trade. You don't have to go to college for 4 years if you don't want to. But there's programs you can go to learn. Even, you know, I work in education, but, like, there's a really good phlebotomy program that I'm working with. You know, it's for six weeks, 2 hours, you know, twice a week. And you can start, you know, job working in hospitals and nursing homes doing phlebotomy, which is drawing blood from people. I mean, these short-term courses where you can really make some decent money, you know, this is what you could look for if you really want to get out. But I really wish, and if I had a wish, I would really wish that we could have some kind of shelter for straight wives to go to because of the fact that so many people are just stuck because they have nowhere to go. They have no family support. They have no source of income, and they really are stuck.
They are. They are. And even during my research, I've encountered women who were in those situations. The threat is real. It is very, very real. And I cannot emphasize enough just how scary it is to even consider what it is that you're walking into. And, you know, to be transparent, it is not to say that it's going to be that easy for you to even find an opportunity to go to school for some people because they're not, you know, not only is the man gay, but he is very controlling. He's intimidating because he uses his power to keep you isolated, keep you so that no one else can see what's going on. There are a lot of factors that will prevent a woman from being able to leave. And yes, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. Unfortunately, it's going to be hard. But I think the long-term goal is to regain yourself, regain who you are, and aim at a life of some level of happiness and joy. Because you can have all the money, all the material things, it has its evidence, and you're miserable. Or you can move into a small little apartment and give up a lot of the things that you had and be happy. But, yeah, there's a lot to consider, but there are people out mm-hmm. there who can provide support and help. I would love
some
to
of our women.
That, Bonnie. I would love to know. That's such a great idea.
Right? I know, because I think that's the biggest, you know, what's really hindering people from leaving is they have no place to go. And I would love to be able to do that, to have women have a place to come to rebuild their lives, you know, to get out of these marriages, to start to heal and recover. Because I don't know how your feelings are on this, but mm-hmm. I truly believe in my heart, you can never start to heal while you're living in this kind of dysfunction. I think there's no way to even start it. I think you're just existing and trying to cope day to day. You can't be healing while you're just fighting to survive. Do you agree with that?
I believe so. I believe so. I think you can start the process of wanting to rebuild strength, but the true healing is not going to till you have time to focus on you. Because in the interim, you're still focusing on the other individual. You're still in the midst of all that stress, and it's not going to be that easy for you to really focus on yourself to start your healing journey.
And I always do tell people that I never, once again, I tell our women that I never judge how long it should take you as far as getting out of a marriage. As long as you're emotionally free, then you can't set yourself to be physically free until you're emotionally free. You have to, in your mind, mm-hmm. say, this is not for me. I am not going to want to stay in this marriage. This marriage is not working. I know I can't get out today, but my goal is to get out. And as long as you can mm-hmm. say those words, you know, you're starting on your path to emotional freedom. Because sometimes you're just not ready even to make that emotional commitment that, you know, mm-hmm. I know I shouldn't be here, but, you know, I still love him and I still, you know, no, you have to be on the track that I need to get out of this marriage. And then when you have that, then you can make a plan. And I have a very close friend who's part of our support group, and her name is Gail. She's been on my show before, and, you know, we're more than just members here. She's a very close, like, sister friend to me. And when she first came to me and she said, you know, very tough situation, and, you know, I said to her, look, it doesn't have to be this minute or next month or next year. I said, even if you have a 5-year game plan, because she still had children at home, I said, but you know you're leaving and you're going to start strengthening yourself and getting strong and going for support. And that's exactly what she did. And it took almost 5 years, but then she was out of that marriage with peace of mind. You know, her kids were, you know, older now. She didn't have to contend with so many of the issues, but she left. So sometimes, you know, if you're not physically free, emotionally free, you're never going to get physically free. Do you feel that way too?
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that because, yes, it's not, and when we talk about the healing journey doesn't start until you leave, and it doesn't always mean physically leaving. You're absolutely right. But when you have a game plan and you know for sure which way you're heading, and you know this is short term because you have a game plan, you can begin the process because you can go to counseling, you can start talking to people, you can start rebuilding your strength, as I said earlier. And even for some women, I have met women who are in the marriage, well, no, in the relationship. The marriage has ended, but they are in a business relationship because not all men I had who had married a woman and he's gay had been really mean. Some men were not very mean. They were not narcissistic at that level. And so I've met women, not a lot, but I have met women who have remained in the relationship, but it was clear that at this point it was more or less a business, a partnership, not of a marriage, but a partnership. They were able to run a household together financially, be there for the children emotionally and physically, and lead separate lives. But they were no longer pretending to be husband and wife because that wasn't there. They can be civil with one another, and some are even friends, but they are no longer married. So I have seen couples who have been able to remain together in a partnership, but definitely not a marriage, none that I've met. where the marriage
now, the ones that you
developed successfully.
Well, those that you have worked with in that situation, are they out there meeting other people and dating?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
There's that understanding. They're not depriving themselves. They're leading separate lives. But they have a partnership. They have an understanding. And they've come to a place of civility where they can share the same home and maintain the bills and be physically present for the children. But they're leading separate lives.
So there are women who can do that. I have a couple, not a lot. But because of
not
business and other obligations and family stuff, you know, they do have, they're living in different rooms of the house. They're not sleeping in the same bed. They're not even in the same bedroom, you know, and it's workable, but I think it's a hard situation, to be honest with you. And that's why, I don't know, everyone has to live with what she's comfortable with, and I understand that. But it's hard to really understand it for me that people are willing to just live in that state. But that's me. I'm not judging anybody. I just know that I couldn't do it.
Absolutely, and it's not for everybody, but I did want to make sure that I acknowledge that there are people, because there are people listening who are like, well, that's not how I had to do it, and I understand that. And you will encounter other people who feel like, hey, I did this, and so can you. But it's to understand that everyone is different. And like you and I said both, that it's not a whole lot of people that I've encountered like that. It's very, very few. And I do mean very, very few. And for some, it can work that way. And I did not want to exclude the women who feel like they've gotten to a place of being emotionally free and are still in the relationship and still have a good relationship with their ex-husband or their partner. But they no longer are in a place where they can call themselves husband and wife. That much I was certain of for most of the people that I've met. So I didn't want to exclude that and said, no, you can't make it work while you're still sharing the same space. But emotionally, they're no longer at the same place as where they were before. Once they come to that understanding that we no longer have a marriage, we have a partnership. So there's a difference.
I just feel that, you know, then you want to move on and have a new life. How are you going to handle that? You know, you're going to get a boyfriend who can accept your ex-husband living in the house. I mean, I'm sure you can work things out. I've seen that happen maybe twice, but there's different situations that are always exceptions to the rule. So I never say it's a cookie cutter situation, but there is a common situation that I would say about 90% of women go through, and then there's alternative situations for the rest. And that's why when women come to me and they're looking for support, and they're looking for me to help for support while they want to stay in their marriages, I say, I'm really sorry, I can't help you. But I do refer them over to the Straight Spouse Network because they work with groups called Moms, which sounds so innocuous, that name, Moms. Like comfortable, right? Yes, but it's called Moms for Mixed Orientation Marriages.
Okay.
Yeah, Mixed Orientation Marriages.
Yes.
This is not like Moms Home Baked Cookies, but, you know, it makes you think it's going to be a real comfortable situation. But there are those women who choose to stay with their gay husbands, and that's a different group, and I don't, you know, like I say, judge them, but they don't belong part of this group because I discourage women from staying in these situations because I feel they're very detrimental as a whole. That, you know, in life, I feel you're born to be given happiness of nothing more, that you have one chance in this life, and if you can't be happy, then what is the point? You know, even if it takes time to find that happiness, to just stay in a situation. And this is just not with straight gay marriages. I see it all the time with straight people who are together. And they're miserable and they're unhappy and there's no compassion, communication, or passion in that marriage left. And yet they just hang in together and complain.
Right.
And complain all the time.
Right.
And like, what
right.
is the point here? I just never understand it. But that's me. So,
well, 100% of, I'm sorry, what I was going to say, Bonnie, 100% of the women that I have encountered thus far have been in marriages with men who are very, very abusive, emotionally for the most part, who blame you for everything, and as a result, the behavior doesn't change. So I see where you're coming from, and I completely understand and support that because you cannot continue. You can't begin to heal yourself if you're still in an environment where the behavior doesn't change from the other individual, where you're still being subjected to being blamed, to being accused of everything and anything, to being made to feel lesser than, you can't really heal like that. So I totally understand where you're coming from. And thus far, I've not met many women, like I said, who had not been in situations where they felt a lot of emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
most of the women that I work with.
Definitely reasons you cannot stay because you're not going to be able to focus on yourself.
Exactly. And before we wrap up the show for tonight, because whenever I talk to you, it seems to just go faster than it should be. Then I don't know, because I'm just looking at the clock. I want to talk a little bit about something we mentioned earlier about forgiveness, that for some of our women, forgiveness is very important. You know, it's a concept of their religious background many times from Christianity, you know, about forgiving. And they feel that you can't really heal unless you forgive. And I don't feel that way. I can definitely admire people who do feel that way. But I think a lot of times some of our women get really caught up in that trap of feeling obligated to forgive. When I say that if somebody earns your forgiveness, and you choose to forgive them, that's fine. But if someone just keeps crapping all over you and making your life miserable, then I use the word acceptance, to learn to accept it, that it's not going to change. You can't do anything to make that different. But if you want to work on forgiveness, forgive yourself because of the fact that, you know, a lot of times you feel guilty that you put up with too much, that you ignored the red flags. I've had so many women tell me, the red flags were there, but I just kept hoping they'd go away, or I hope that, you know, I was misunderstanding it. Because they are good, kind, loving women. I always say that straight wives make the best wives because they keep trying to fix something so broken that can't be fixed, and they don't want to give up on it.
Yeah.
But I think forgiving yourself for staying there for so long or too long and putting your children through, you know, emotional hurt also, because when you're hurting, they are hurting. Or doing bad role modeling or whatever the case is, like the woman I spoke about this morning, that it's really important to be able to forgive yourself. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I totally agree that forgiveness starts within. It starts with you. And I agree with you in the sense that when it comes to forgiveness, it is not something that you should feel forced to do. Because in my opinion, that is not true forgiveness. If you even choose to do so. But it can't be something you're forced to do. It has to come naturally. Now, and that is in terms of forgiving the other person. But I totally agree with you that we must learn to forgive ourselves first and foremost. And for me, I feel like that is one of the biggest thing in terms of the healing process. I feel like that is incredibly important, that we first start with forgiving yourself, because once you can forgive yourself, you can learn to love yourself again. And it's that loving yourself that will strengthen you to be able to move forward and just change your life around the way that you want it to be, the way that you envisioned that it would be. And it's not necessarily always going to be perfect, because life is not perfect. But you can have a better chance of trying something that you will desire at this point, the way that you want it to look. And then just keep trying. If it doesn't work this way, you have a chance to forgive yourself and move on and try it another way. But I absolutely agree with you that we need to learn to forgive ourselves first and foremost. Because for me, until I do that, I can't really say I love myself, because I'm living in guilt, in shame, or whatever other emotions are causing barriers to me moving forward and to maintaining me in that space of guilt.
And I think, you know, staying on that topic of forgiving yourself, that, you know, you have to really start working on yourself in order to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Because we talked also about how many women who are so vulnerable leave these marriages, and they find themselves back in a new relationship in 6 months with somebody who may not be gay, but someone who's just as abusive as their gay husband, because they have narcissism or sociopathy, and they know how to look for vulnerable women who are, you know, needy for emotional support, because we've just come out of abusive marriages And if you do not learn to fix yourself first, you're just going to be broken again by some other kind of predator. Do you agree with that?
Yes. We tend to attract similar people over and over and over again until you have what I call a self-talk. I believe we need to start reshaping the way we think and the way we perceive relationships and what we want in relationships. One of the things I do with my women when I meet them and they are in unhealthy relationships is have them write down a relationship goal, a list of all their relationship goals. What do you really want out of relationships? What is that man supposed to look like? Just overall things. And go through it and try to stick to it as much as possible. We have to reshape the way we perceive things, the things that we will accept as okay, and the things that are a deal breaker. And be okay with how we want to see relationships and not, and I'm not saying being rigid about it, but understand that you have a right to happiness and you have a right to want to have a healthy relationship. And you can make it happen to the best of your ability if you stick to what you know you want in life. So we need to start retraining ourselves in terms of what we want to attract in our life.
So I do want to let our listeners know, because they listen throughout the year, not necessarily today or tomorrow, but every day somebody's listening to this broadcast, that if you are in the Atlanta area, that if you need support with this, if you get in touch with Dr. Bonet, her email address is on this broadcast, and let her know that you need help either through therapy or for her free support group. She will be there for you, and nobody understands the straight wife as well as Dr. Bonet. She's been incredible in working with our women and understands every single thing that you're feeling. So she's a wonderful resource to have. And I really, truly appreciate you coming on here, always giving such good perspectives, Maggie, because you understand this. Like I say, you've been helping so many people in this situation. And she also, is very, very wonderful. If you're in a marriage in that area and you would like your husband to get counseling, if he's going through some kind of turmoil, if he's not quite, if he's having doubts or feelings and you want him to be able to help himself, you have a large population of gay clientele too that you work with, correct?
Yes, I do.
All right. So, they feel very, I'm sure they'll feel just as comfortable as our straight wives feel with you. And it's always important.
I do present, yes, I would hope to. I am an LGBTQ aware and friendly therapist. So I welcome that because I do feel people need to live their authentic selves.
Me too. I always tell my men who come to me, as I mentioned to you, I have about 200 a year who are looking for support in how to tell their wives with the least amount of damage. And I always tell them that, this is going to be the hardest day of your life, and it really will be. When you have to tell your wife, but you owe it to her. If you claim you love her, then you have to do the right thing and be honest and tell her why this marriage isn't working. Instead of allowing her to keep blaming herself for doing things wrong, you have to make it right and be that responsible person who loves enough to tell the truth. And usually these men do that. In most of the cases, the men who come to me, I walk them through it. I talk to their wives, whatever they need, so that those people can move on. So I'm totally on the same page with you. This is a situation that has to be resolved in all different areas. So I hope you'll come back soon again. I really appreciate your coming on the show. Hopefully you'll be back sooner than later.
Thank you so much.
I can always hope, right?
Well, totally. I'm always honored.
So are we. Trust me. You're just wonderful.
Thank you.
So to all of our women, I want to wish you a happy week. Try to look up. There's a beautiful sun out there. It's just going to take time for some people to get under it, but it's out there waiting for you. And I'll be back here with you next week, and Dr. Bonet will be back with us soon again. So love to all of you, and I love you, Maggie. Thank you so much for being here.
I love you, too, and I appreciate you, Bonnie. Thanks for everything you're doing. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You, too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now.